broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Thursday, April the 8th, 2021. 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour, and as many of you know, as of Monday morning, we moved to a new studio here in Marion. Now, I just want to let everybody know, because, you know, the first week you're in a new studio, you're learning all kinds of things about the new neighborhood you are in. And here is what I have learned this morning, that Thursday is trash day in this neighborhood. Now, there are two ways that I know that Thursday is trash day in this neighborhood, because I was coming in on the main street this morning, and first of all, let me say that I think people who do sanitation, what used to be called garbage men and women, they definitely deserve a better title than that, sanitation crews. I have nothing but the utmost respect and admiration for people who work in the sanitation business, because that's a tough, tough job. It's a dirty job. And if it was not done, the whole community would come to a halt. Now, let me say this about the sanitation crew. Now that I've said that. So I'm driving in this morning, and there is a side street that I have learned that I can cut through that will get me here a whole lot quicker than if I go all the way around the block. Because Prospect Street, South Prospect, is a one-way street. So if I cut down this one street, it almost puts me right at the door of the new studio. So I've been doing that every morning this week. Well, see, I did not know that Thursday morning is trash morning. And of course, trash morning would run just about the time that I'm getting to the studio. So I'm going down this side street, and I just turned down the side street, and I can see at the very end, right before I'm able to turn onto South Prospect Street, that there is a sanitation truck there. And they are parked right in the middle of the street. So there's no going by the sanitation truck. They are dead center. Now, it's not a wide street, but I believe it is a two-way street. I believe. Now, I'll have to check that. I know I'm going down the correct way every morning, but I believe it is a two-way street. But this sanitation truck is parked right in the center of the street. So I'm not going around this thing. Now, I'm facing the back of it now as I pull up. There's no place to go. There's no way I can't turn around. I can't really back up at this point. I'm all in. So I get down there, and I'm sitting behind this sanitation truck, and there's a lot of garbage out this morning. So it's taking a minute. Now, listen, sanitation people have to pick up the refuse. There's no doubt about it. I want them to pick up the refuse, but I'm not exactly sure why we've got to be in the middle of the street. Now, this is probably not the sanitation person's fault. Whoever's driving the truck probably did this, and I'm not even putting the blame on the person who drove the truck, because to be honest, maybe they didn't know they were in the center of the street. It's not a big street. So this was the first trial and tribulation of the new studio, was the sanitation issue. Now, another way you know that this is sanitation day is I got to the studio, the truck moved, I got in here to the studio. By the way, if I'm ever late any morning turning on the microphone at 8:15, it's probably because I'm behind a sanitation truck somewhere, especially if it's ever a Thursday morning. So, I get over on the street that the radio station's on, and I come in the building here, and I'm getting ready to do the show this morning, sitting here, going over a few things, and I start to hear this loud noise outside. And in our old location, you really did not hear loud noises because we were on the third floor, or second floor. We were on the second floor. How soon we forget. We were on the second floor, kind of in the back of the building, so you very rarely ever heard any noise. So I'm hearing this loud noise out front. And I'm thinking, man, it must be a semi coming down the street or something. Because semis do like to come down South Prospect Street. So I go out front, and it's another sanitation truck. Now, I don't know if the sanitation truck went around the block and came back up, but sanitation trucks do make a lot of noise. Now, again, I'm not saying anything negative about the sanitation people. I believe that maybe even more than police officers and firefighters, if sanitation people went out on strike, we would really, after about 2 weeks, be in dire straits in the city and in the county. But I just wanted to fill you in that Sanitation Day happens on Thursdays here at the new location. So there you go. Now, does anybody have anything to say about the sanitation people here in Marion? Now, most of it is probably very good. You know, you can set just about anything out on the side of the road, and they will take it in Marion City. And that's a great thing. That does not happen in most cities. So give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Wanted to give you a little update on our antenna situation. I know a lot of people have been interested in this. We actually have somebody going up today, a certified person, to look at the tower. Now, I about said fix the tower. Now, I don't know if it will be fixed today, but I know that within the next 48 hours, it will be fixed. It could be fixed today when the person goes up there, depending on how large the problem is, because we've been able to see the antenna, but we're not exactly sure how bad the connection is. So if they're able to fix it today, I'm sure they will. If they have to go get some more tools and do it in a couple days, they'll do it then. But within 48 hours, let's put it that way, this station should be back to full power on the old antenna, the way it used to be, prior to 14 days ago tomorrow, when the big windstorm came by and caused all the problem. Now, our other ongoing problem is the sound coming through your TuneIn or your Alexa or your internet, however you're listening. You could still be listening over the air. I can pick this station up in my house. That's why it's weird when people tell me they're losing the station at certain points, because when this all first happened, I could not pick it up in my house. It died off somewhere around McDonald's out east. But now I can get it on all the radios in my house pretty much. And I know it can be picked up in Clarendon somewhat. And I know that it can be picked up in Grandview somewhat, because I was in Grandview the other day. I was in Grandview on Tuesday and was able to get the station all the way out there. So I don't know. Maybe it just depends on the radio. But you could still be listening on the radio. But the other issue is we moved into the new studio, and we did have to repair one of the computers when we moved over here last Thursday night. So we've been trying to get the sound right so everybody can hear what's going on. How does the sound sound? Now, I'm not going to mess with it anymore, because I think we've got a pretty good sound right now until we further soundproof things in the new studio. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, sir. Do you want a report from my laptop as to the sound quality?
Yeah, nothing's changed since yesterday, so let's hear it.
It seems, and I might forget if I listen to the laptop with speaker, if it's in the car, on the Bluetooth, if it's in the phone, if I'm in town, if I listen the old-fashioned way, which is how I prefer to listen. It seems kind of like you're in a tunnel. But the distortion, the overmodulation, is much better. In fact, I think it's actually clearer than it was previously. But it has that tunnel-y sound, and your voice is a little higher, a little tinnier than normal. And I know what you sound like, and it seems a little tinny and a little like it's almost like it's vibrating, and kind of like you're in a cave. But the clarity is good, so it's almost like I don't mind it because I like the clarity, and there's less noise, which is good also. So for the most part, it's decent. I mean, there will be differences. The topology of this location is much different than the previous, but I think once it's fixed, it'll be better. We have so many more ways to customize it.
Well, one of the reasons it sounds tinny is because when I put the bass back into it, which it was at the old studio, there was always bass in it at the old studio, that's when people say it's muddy. So every time I turn that up, I get it's muddy. So I have learned not to do that.
Yeah, it's going to be a compromise, and, you know, with talk, we have more margin of error, as we don't have the frequency response of classical or rock music with the bass and the screeching guitars and the vocals, which could be higher or lower, both. So we have more margin of error. But I think it's decent. I like the fact that there's less noise and that there's less overmodulation, because that was a problem when we were doing some experiments earlier in the week. So from a compromise standpoint, it's better, and we'll continue to fine-tune it.
Well, as long as it's understandable, I'm okay.
And I don't know what happened. There was that technical issue yesterday. I'm not even sure what happened, but thankfully I was able to fix that from my phone. That's kind of a nice thing about modern radio technology.
I don't know. Like I said, I saw the picture. I don't know. I wasn't here. I don't know what happened.
So the landlord also wanted to know, did you put any trash out last night?
No, I would have liked to have put some trash out last night, but it's still here.
Okay, well, that's fine. Well, we'll just do it next week. You know, he hates to think that his city taxes that he pays were not being put to good use. As I agree, the garbage people, like I said, that's what I call them, because they can be male or female, obviously.
I think
they do a great job. They're overworked. They deal with some ribbing when their job is important, and it keeps the city looking nice. Marion's a clean city, and they do such a good job with that. They wake up early, and regardless of the weather, they get in the truck, and they collect our waste, and do a good job, do it cleanly, and don't complain. So I agree with you. They are first responders, and we do need to tip our hat to them.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, if the people are coming back to get the item that is still outside, they do it quick, because once it rains, it's going to be useless.
Yeah, the landlord is working on that, but was told by the appropriate parties that will be happening very soon. So the temperature situation is still good?
Well, as far as I know, it's 69.
Yeah, well, that's good. But just we're kind of lucky with, I think the sun, I think, comes in the morning, and it's blocked by that shade that we rigged up. And then later in the day, it actually stays cool, which is good. It's best just to have naturally good temperatures. That is better, and that way it won't be any noise. You don't really ever hear any of the temperature control working, so you don't really know. You just kind of judge it by what it feels like when you walk in, right?
You know, it was interesting because we do have a temperature gauge on the atomic clock, and yesterday, between the time that I got here at 8 o'clock and the time I left a little after noon, it had raised about 5 degrees. But yesterday was a warm day.
Yeah, and again, 75 isn't bad, and we have the fan running. So we just want to be sure people are comfortable at a location just south of town. As you know, we had notorious temperature issues. I felt terrible for Charlie. I mean, he would come in, I mean, wear a winter coat and a scarf and gloves. I mean, come in, it was 40 degrees trying to do a show and your lips are frozen.
Well, it's so far so good, but we're not in the heat of summer or the dead of winter.
Yeah, just describe that those days are behind us.
That works for me.
Not to mention the well functioning and somewhat clean. I mean, not the nicest facilities in the world, but it's up there. It's functioning and somewhat clean men's room and ladies' room. So landlord's really concerned about that, as that's an important part of a dwelling. So I think all is well. And any bumps in the road are minimal, and we look forward to when we can have contest winners and listeners over. They will be impressed. They will be blown away, I think, and that's going to help us even more.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open. That just goes to show you, we will take any phone call. 740-383-9944. You know, if it does sound tinny, or like there's not enough bass in my voice, this has to do with Monday and Tuesday. Every time I turned up the bass on the board to where it was before, people said it sounded muddy. Now, muddy is an interesting adjective when it comes to sound. I don't know exactly. I think muddy means not understandable. But so we have just completely gotten rid of the bass in the line. So if I sound tinny or like I'm in a tunnel, although that's a funny adjective to me too, or a funny saying, that I sound like I'm in a tunnel. I've never talked to many people who were in a tunnel, so I'm not exactly sure what they sound like. But if it does sound like I'm in a tunnel, I'm willing to accept that. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Do you have any comments on just the general sanitation crews here in Marion, good or bad? And I'm not saying this morning's experience was bad. Heavens knows, I'm glad they're out there collecting the refuse. And you know, sometimes people put out quite a bit of refuse, so that could have been one of the major problems this morning, was that somebody put out quite a bit of refuse. That could have been the hang-up. So there you have it. All right. What else is on the agenda here this morning? Well, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about here, because it turned into a very big news story yesterday, and a sad... well, hold on. We'll take the phone call, then we'll come back to this. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah?
I'm the sanitation crew in Maryland. I'm going to tell you, I got the most respect for them people.
Oh,
men,
yes.
Men and women. There's some women on there, even. When you go out and do that job every day, I've never did it, but when you do it... You know, you don't have to go to YMCA that night to work out. You get a workout. And the way people load some of these garbage cans up, you know, it takes two men to lift one up. But you don't see very many heavy people on them garbage routes. Them guys are all in good shape, and they got arms on them. All of them got arms lifting that garbage up, you know.
Oh, it's got to be just a strenuous job.
Oh, and you know what? In the rain, in the cold... In the summer, with the maggots and stuff, people, where they dump stuff, you know. I know a few of the people that work on the sanitation, and I got respect for them. Every Christmas, I give them a tip, the sanitation people, and recycling, because they do me a good job, and I like them.
They do, and we have very good sanitation people here in Marion. They will pick up just about anything.
Yes, they do. And, you know, I'll tell you what, that's a tough job. I mean, it's no gimme. It's tough. You go out there, you know, the elements against you, and up and down that track, them legs are only good for so long, and then them legs go, you know?
Well, you know, I wonder what the lifespan is of somebody in the sanitation business. I don't think you could do that until retirement. I don't think you could go to age 63 or 65.
Well, I know a lot of people that drive, like, UPS and FedEx and... Used to be Nichols and Omar and all that. In and out of them trucks, up and down, your legs go. You know, you start to get really bow-legged. And you do. You know, that's cement and all that. It ain't a job for a lifetime. I mean, you know, it's okay for a while till you go into something else. But I'll tell you, them people in the sanitation, they're in shape. Great shape.
Well, it's interesting. The two gentlemen that I saw today as I was coming up the street here, now they were both, they looked like younger guys. I mean, I assume they were both under the age of 40. But, you know, it's a tough job. They were lifting, at one point, they had two guys. One must have been riding in the truck, and they were trying to lift a box. And I don't know if they couldn't get the box up because it was heavy or if it was because the box was giving away. I'm not really sure what was going on. But the other guy got out and helped him lift the box into the truck, and it was a load.
You know, some of these people put stuff out. And you know what? I can't understand why people don't buy a couple of garbage cans instead of all these sacks. They sack after sack after sack. You know, so much easier, a garbage can, you can pick it up and dump it. You got it. Got a lid for it. I don't get it myself.
You know, that's one of those things like...
cost money.
Well, you know, that to me is one of those things kind of like umbrellas. I don't know why people don't have umbrellas.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange.
If you're not out in the weather too much, you're in and out, you know, but, you know, like, you know, people would dress up and stuff, and you got to... stay nice. I understand that, having an umbrella, you know. But Man, them garbage people, I don't call them garbage people, sanitation people. They're top of the line. I don't care what anybody says. If people just go one day with them on that route, you would be amazed what you would find, how much you'd appreciate them people.
Oh, you know? It's a tough job. There's no doubt about it.
Yep, and you're coming in pretty good. I'm setting my porch on the west side, and you're coming in pretty good.
Well, good, and we sound a little less bassy than normal, but we sound okay.
Yeah, oh, well. You're okay, Scott.
Good to hear. Thank you.
I'll keep listening. I'll keep in tune.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, Scott. Thank you.
All right, there we go. That's the type of phone call we like, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call. Do you have anything to say about the sanitation crews or anything else going on in the world at this point? You know, there's been so much going on around here with the moving of the studios and trying to set up the new studio and having the one computer go down and trying to fix the situation at the antenna. It's been a busy 10-day period, but we forge on to a brighter future. And we're glad that you're out there listening and hearing us, and that's the important thing. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have anything to say. Now, I'm going to bring this up again, not so much because of the topic, but because of what happened yesterday on this show. Now, and it was totally by accident. It was certainly not planned. Now, yesterday, we brought up the subject of the George Floyd trial, which is going on, which you can't seem to get away from. All the news channels are covering it, and newspapers, and so on and so forth. And I don't know when the verdict will be, and we'll see what happens. Now, I wish I could remember even how this happened yesterday. But Glenn Coble was here between 10 and 12, as he always is on Wednesday. And Terry Klein came in, I think just to see the new studio yesterday. So Terry Klein came in, and at some point, and I know it started with the George Floyd trial, but I'm not sure how we got on the subject of concealed carry and, it was concealed carry and right to bear arms and that conversation, you know, the gun conversation. And I will tell you that the conversation between Terry and Glenn got very, very tense. Now, I don't know if either one of them would qualify it as tense, but here's why I will tell you that was a tense conversation. I had people messaging me online who were listening who said, boy, it must be tense in there. It sounds tense. And then the first call we had from a listener during that whole spiel yesterday, the first thing they said was, boy, it must be tense in there. So I'm glad we can have conversations like that, I guess is what I want to say, because nobody yelled at anybody, nobody screamed, nobody called anybody a name that I'm aware of, and it was just two people who clearly had differing opinions on the subject of the right to bear arms and the Stand Your Ground law here in Ohio and in other states. And I don't know why to this day that is such a touchy subject, to be honest with you. Because we don't make the laws. Now, we vote people in who make the laws, but we don't make the laws ourselves. So why that has always been a touchy subject, there are just certain subjects in life that are very touchy, and I don't know why the right to bear arms and stand your ground are very touchy subjects. Now, I said something yesterday during that program that I was led to believe was correct. Now, I was told yesterday that it's not correct. I was told a few years ago it was a girl who was in her probably 30s at the time, and she had taken the class so she could conceal carry because she was a single girl and she felt that maybe something bad would happen to her. And she told me that the theory was shoot to kill, that if somebody attacks you, you know, not you don't go around just shooting to kill, but that if somebody were to come up on you and grab a hold of you or try to steal something, I don't know what the situation is. I guess maybe if it turned physical. But that the theory behind it was that if you have a weapon that you shoot to kill, and if I remember right from that conversation years ago, it was because you did not want the gun wrestled away from you and possibly used on you, and you wanted to make sure whatever action was happening stopped if they were attacking you. Now, again, I did not hear this from an instructor. I heard this from somebody who took the class. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I can't imagine that it's not true, because if somebody came up on you and grabbed a hold of you, now, you've still got to get your gun out from wherever it is on your body, wherever you've got it concealed. You have to pull that out, turn it on them, and obviously fire if that's what you're going to do. And I don't think you would have the time to try to find their leg or their shoulder or an area that would just disable them and not, you know, really put a stop to it. So I don't know. What are people's thoughts on that in general? The conversation we had that was, well, we didn't have, that Glenn and Terry had on this show yesterday about that, conceal carry and the right to bear arms and stand your ground and all that. What did you think of that conversation yesterday, now that that conversation has come to an end? But also in general, what do you think of these laws? Because they have been changing over the last 20 years here in Ohio. You know, we got the concealed carry law, and now we have the stand your ground law. And the governor was not really in favor of the stand your ground law. Now, eventually he did sign it into law. Now, I don't know what finagling went on there, but he was not in huge favor of that in the beginning. So, I don't know. I like hearing opinions about this, because I'm always interested to know what the people think. But what is your feeling about conceal carry and stand your ground? It's an interesting subject. Give us a call here. 740-383-9944. And we had a lady call in yesterday. Now, I was glad that she didn't end up speaking for about 8 minutes. Now, she talked about growing up, I think, being fearful of guns. And then she had to change her mind because, I think, of becoming fearful of society. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know what it is, but I just don't have that fear. Now, luckily, nothing bad has ever happened to me. But I don't know. I think of it logically. I really don't know if I had a gun, if I would be able to stop what was going on anyway. Because my theory has always been, even if I have a gun in the house, okay, if I have a gun in my house, I'm probably not sleeping with it under my pillow. I don't know, is it on the nightstand? Is it in the closet? Is it in the dresser drawer? I really don't know. But if I'm in a dead sleep in the middle of the night, you know, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I hear somebody breaking in, because I've got to hear them, they've got to wake me up, or else the whole gun issue is kind of a moot point. So let's say they're making enough noise to wake me up. Now, am I going to be about myself at that time of the morning, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, am I going to be about myself enough to get a hold of this, go find them in the dark, and take care of them? I don't know if I am or not. Now, I would certainly call 911, and I would probably try to get out of the house. You know, I don't think there's a room in my house that doesn't have a window or a door or something like that. I would probably try to get out, because I think that would diffuse the problem. And then the other scenario is, I don't hear the person coming in, and they're standing in the doorway to my bedroom when I finally realize that they're there, well, in that particular case, I don't know that I'm going to be able to do anything anyway, because they're probably going to see at that point, if I go making any sharp movements, that I have a firearm. And that's probably not going to end very well, because they've planned this out a whole lot better than I have. So that's always been my thinking on a gun in the house. And also, you hear so many stories and family anecdotes of things that happen badly when guns are kept in the house in bad places, where kids can get a hold of them and things of that nature. I don't know. You know, I think back to a time when people didn't lock their doors. Now, when people didn't lock their doors, do you think they felt as threatened? And is the threat real? You know, I don't know in Marion, Ohio. I don't hear of a whole lot of stories of people breaking into people's houses and the resident shooting the person. And I'm sure a lot of people have concealed carry licenses here in Marion. I'm sure a lot of people believe in the Stand Your Ground law here in Marion. But I don't hear of that particular situation happening very often. I couldn't tell you a time that I remember that situation. Now, has anybody ever been in that situation or have anything to say? 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Yeah.
Just a comment on the whole shoot-to-kill thing. I don't necessarily agree with that because I've never been a fan of guns. My ex-husband had over 30 of them. He was just more or less a collector. But if you've ever witnessed someone who's been shot, he actually shot himself in the hand.
Mm.
It was a mistake. And the amount of pain that you are in, it's debilitating. So I can't imagine that shooting someone in a non-life-threatening area of the body wouldn't be enough to stop them. But then again, there's people on drugs, high on adrenaline, so it's hard to say, but I would rather shoot to maim and hopefully stop them than kill them.
Well, you know why this has stuck with me over the years is because I was truly shocked when she told me that it was shoot to kill. Because I guess I always believed that when the concealed carry law came in, I always thought that if you did shoot at somebody, you were trying to get away from them. You were trying to just be safe and not kill the person, to get out of, you know, because killing somebody, I mean, even if they are somebody who's trying to cause you harm, I don't know that they're trying to kill you, I guess is the problem.
Right.
Because
right.
there are many people who just want to rob you. Not that that's a good thing, but they're not even armed.
Yes, yep. I think she probably is right. My electrician is friends with an ex-deputy sheriff, and he was told by that sheriff, that's what you do, you shoot to kill, because that takes away any chance of them harming you. But I have a hard time going along with that. My brother is an ex-drug addict. He's had his fair share of crimes, and to think of him stealing to support his addiction and getting killed over it, when I see how much he's thriving today, I kind of see both sides of it, but is it worth someone losing a life over?
Well, that's the problem, and I think that's where the heated conversation came yesterday between Glenn and Terry, because Terry, I believe, is a concealed carry holder, and I think, you know, if you are a concealed carry holder, you really believe that is protecting you, and I think if you're Glenn, you think that, I don't want to speak for him, but I think you think that there is probably more of a margin of error here, like you just described, than protection. And I just, I don't know what drives that.
Yeah, I'm for the concealed carry. I think we live in a dangerous society anymore. You know, where drugs drive people to do things, and it's not always drugs, but that seems to be a major component. Drives people to do things they wouldn't normally do. I live in a household where I'm the head of the household. I live with three other females, two 20-somethings and a 10-year-old. And a year or two ago, there was a rash of break-ins, but it was people knocking on the door and then pushing their way in. And that scares me. So I'm actually considering buying a gun just to keep here. You know, 14 years in a home, it's not, you kind of feel a little bit vulnerable. We've got cameras installed and things like that, but I would feel a lot more safer having a gun under my bed, just in case. And you just never know.
Well, you don't, now, the other thing in this that I've always heard is when the rubber meets the road, that if somebody is breaking in, you think you could, but could you really shoot them?
Right. I really think in that situation, you're going to feel so threatened that I would think instincts would kick in, and you probably would. I mean, none of us really know until we're there, but I've thought about that too. But as far as protecting myself and these girls, I don't think I would hesitate. I really don't.
Well, and
I wouldn't want to kill the person, but I would want to stop them in any way that I could.
Right, and that's one of the difficult questions in this whole thing is would we actually be able to do it? And also, you know, if a person's trying to break into your house and they are not armed, if they're just trying to break in, and you pull out a gun on them, emotions go up on both ends.
Yes.
And then people start to act maybe not as normal as they would, and sometimes that tension can lead to things happening that normally would not have happened.
Right. Yeah, it's very easy to see both sides of it, but my feeling is we live in a kind of dangerous society anymore, even here in Marion. And especially as females, I physically couldn't do anything about a man breaking in. I mean, obviously, he's probably going to overpower me. So my next thing in line would be, you know, a gun to stop him. So that's kind of my line of thinking.
Well,
I think it's just we all have to do what we feel is right.
That's right. I think in people's own minds, they have to make the right decision for them and hope for the best in the end.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you for calling.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open here. All very interesting points that are being made this morning. I assume if you were a single woman, this would be a whole different conversation and a whole different feeling for you. It's a very tough conversation to have, and maybe that's why it brings out such high emotions in people as it did yesterday. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. Remember, if the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on trying back in. We really enjoy hearing from you. Coming up on 55 minutes past the hour. I love having this atomic clock set right. That's the best thing that's happened all week, as far as I'm concerned. Go ahead, caller.
I don't understand. There's a lot of things you can do other than a gun, too. Not that I'm, you know, I'm all for guns, but a lot of people don't have dogs that could have dogs. And I know it's kind of a pain keeping up with the pet hair and, you know, cleaning your yard and all that, you know. But there's plenty of dogs that need loving homes. And I know, like, if you're a runner, it could be hard, you know. A lot of landlords don't, you know, really want to deal with dogs. But if you're able, I mean, the Humane Society, they will land with unwanted dogs. And a lot of, I think a barking dog, you know, would be a good deterrent for a burglar or rapist or whatever.
I think dogs can certainly help. But I, you know, are people really that nervous?
I want to bring something up real quick. okay, so I'm not going to, like, you know, address my oh, I live at blah, blah, blah. I'm going to put my address out there. But there's a lot that goes on that doesn't make the front page of the Marion Star. last summer, there was a drive-by shooting on my street. And I never heard you talk about it. And I don't know, it was, like I said, in the paper. And it wasn't a drive-by just to where, like, the people got shot at. The people that got shot at shot back. It was a full-out Wild West, you know. And you don't hear, there's things that goes on, a lot of things that goes on in this town. Like, they don't make the papers and whatnot, but it's out there. It's happening. I've had people, I had a guy walk into my house. He was totally harmless. He was like an older guy. I don't know if he was confused and didn't know what was going on. I had just went, and a friend of mine took me to Columbus, and I'd had carpal tunnel surgery, and she brought me home. I was getting ready to leave, and my front door opened up. Some strange guy, some old dude, never seen him before or after that day, and he shook his head and said, "Oh, wrong house," whatever that meant. Then he just shut my door and made his way down my front steps and moseyed on down my street, and I went to the door to open the door and said, "What is that all about?" And I don't remember what he even mumbled. But I said, "Yeah, I wouldn't do that again if I were you." But, you know, things go on.
Now, what did he say?
When he opened the door, and he kind of just, like, took one, like, half of a step inside my front room, and he shook his head and he tore up, like, standing there, and he said, "Oh, wrong house."
Oh, wrong house.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, before that day, I never saw him. I never saw him again after that day. I don't know what he wanted or who he was or where he thought he was at. He just said, "Wrong house." Then shut the door, made his way down my front porch steps, and I thought, "What?" And so I went over and opened the door, and I said, "Yeah, what's going on?" And he just kind of mumbled something, and I said, "Yeah, I wouldn't do that again if I were you." Because it was unnerving.
Well, yeah, I can understand that. Well, maybe he...
That was, like, this isn't Hollywood. I'm not going to put more in the story and make it sound juicy. But he wasn't, like, stick him up or anything. Yeah, I don't know. For all I know, he had dementia or something, and he said wrong house. And the poor guy's probably just confused or something. But all I'm saying is things do go on. They wouldn't be able to make all them shows on TV if people wasn't out killing people.
You know, that's true, but honestly, those shows, and I know a lot of people watch them on the ID and all those channels, but the truth of the matter is I wonder how much those shows are sensationalized. I really don't know.
What do you mean when you say sensationalized?
Well, I mean, obviously, I know
okay,
people...
Someone got killed. I mean, yeah, we can talk it to death, but someone had to die to make that show. And there's
right.
A few of them shows out there.
Well, clearly there was a murder, but, like, for example, I think, you know, we had Jay McDonald on a couple weeks ago talking about the thing that happened over on Cummins Avenue. Now, to me, that will stick out as one of the most awful, memorable stories in Marion history because of the ages of the people and because of what happened, that they were husband and wife, that this guy did shoot his wife, and they were in their 70s and 80s.
Yeah, and I guess that kind of negates my point because they had a dog and Fluffy had to get one between the eyes.
Right. And
never
then,
mind, they could shoot your dog. Never, forget everything I said.
Right, well, and then he shot his own dog.
I mean, that wouldn't be terrible. That made me the maddest of everything.
Well, but then the cops
and
walk
in. And that's what I think with my dog. I know they would probably give their life trying to defend me, and then I would be so mad, like, is life even worth living now? Because I love them so much.
Well, and then the cops walk. Now the guy apparently just sits there, and when the cops walk in, then he stabs himself in front of the cops. So
can you imagine the trauma those four officers?
Well, that's what I say. I think that is a story that certainly could make the ID channel, but it really has nothing to do. I mean, that could not have happened to.
Hey, I got to rule, and you got to go to break.
I got to go, but you know, there you go. You know what I'm saying?
All right. See ya.
See ya. All right, we're going to break back in 10 minutes.
Hey, Curtis and Phyllis Diller and Jane Meadows and all the great guests we've had over the last 5 years. But today, making a very special appearance with us is a gentleman who's been on before. He is an icon in the world of news without question. And my introduction is now over, long enough to say, here is Sam Donaldson. Sam, how are you?
Well, Scott, I'm pleased to be with you. I mean, you're persistent, you're smart. I understand you've been on the air for 5 years. And I must tell you, I was a reporter in Washington for 52 years. The next 47 is the easiest. I mean, the first 5 was the hardest.
You know, it's interesting, Sam. I was talking to somebody the other day over a few radio stations. I've been doing this for 17 years. And boy, I'll tell you, it never gets old.